their hands. Chapter 16. Eater of Souls. Meanwhile, some distance above my head, here's what happens as Iris's rite runs to completion. Benjamin paces around the chapel of the ancient and honorable Order of Wheelwrights, nostrils flaring to take in the sweet summer night air, heavy with pollen and sweet with the scent of new-mown hay. Benjamin is a mild-mannered debt management consultant from Epping, and he's doing very well, thank you. He works out for half an hour every morning in the gym downstairs from his comfortable office. Then he goes to work, where he helps distressed businesses find ways and means of improving their cash retention practices. He spends his evenings arranging social activities under the aegis of his local church, who the neighbors consider to be slightly odd, but generally friendly and helpful. And sometimes, at the weekend, he plays with the church paintball team. Epping is one stop down the line from Barking, which is what the neighbors would think of him if they could see him now, wearing the black cloak of a member of a very different order, and carrying a gun that fires something more substantial than paint pellets. Grigori, in contrast, is not mild-mannered at all. Grigori is a violently aggressive young thug from the slums of Nizhny Novgorod, born in the year of the collapse of the Soviet Union and raised half-feral amidst the wreckage of the timber and steel industries. Conscripted into the Russian army at 18 and subjected to 12 months of brutal training, he showed a remarkable aptitude for butchering Wahhabi guerrillas in the hills of the Kadar zone during the Dagestan War. Already tapped for promotion to sergeant, he was instead inducted into Spetsgruppe V, Wimpel, the FSB's special operations unit, where he was taught German, Arabic, and 16 different ways to strangle a man in his own intestines. Grigori does not play paintball. Grigori kills people. Here comes Grigori, crawling silently through the bushes, taking care not to place hand or foot on any twig that might snap, nor to disturb leafy shrubs that might whisper in the darkness. He pauses regularly, glancing sidelong to maintain situational awareness and positioning relative to his comrades, neither too far ahead nor lagging behind the line of advance. They use no radio. The occasional flicker of a red LED torch or the hoot of a tawny owl are more than sufficient. Grigori pauses before the open apron of the parking lot in front of the chapel, waiting for the sentry to complete his round. While he pauses, he double-checks his crossbow. The body is made of black resin, and the bow sports a profusion of pulleys. It's a hunting bow, fine-tuned for hunting the kind of game that shoots back on full auto. It's totally silent, and it throws a cyanide-tipped bolt that can slice through 5 centimeters of Kevlar armor. Here comes Benjamin, pacing quietly around the side of the chapel. Benjamin is a good sentry. He's been bushwhacked by rival paintball players often enough to be ambush-savvy, scanning the darkness with nervous, night-adjusted eyes. He is well-equipped, his cloak concealing a small fortune in camouflaged body armor. To his belt is clipped a small pager. It vibrates every 10 seconds, and if he fails to press a button on it within another 10 seconds, a siren will sound, loud enough to wake the dead. And he's cranked up on a cocktail of Provigil and crystal meth, sleepless and compulsively alert. All Highest has briefed the security team carefully. The threat of a hostile intrusion is very real tonight, and Benjamin holds his AA-12 assault shotgun at the ready, his index finger tense beside the trigger guard. Grigori and Benjamin are not as mismatched as a superficial comparison might suggest. Grigori's lieutenant has meticulously planned a seek-and-destroy raid on a nest of cultists defended by vicious but amateurish killers, and Iris's security chief has briefed the sentries to be on the alert for an infiltration attempt by an elite unit of special forces troops attached to a secret interior ministry department. But as Grigori and Benjamin are about to discover, they've both been briefed for the wrong mission. Benjamin pauses in the shadow of an ornamental buttress at one corner of the chapel and scans the darkness beyond. There are low shrubs and a row of lichen-encrusted gravestones, some of them leaning towards a low dip in the ground, where a willow tree holds court over a circle of beeches. He sniffs. There's something in the air tonight, something beyond the efflorescences of pollen spurting from the wildly rutting vegetation, something beyond the tang of mold spores drifting from the cut ends of the lawn over by the road. His eyes narrow. Something about the bushes is wrong. His pager vibrates. He peers into the gloom, tensing and raising the heavy shotgun, and tries to move his right foot forward into a shooter's stance. His boot is stuck. Grigori crouches in the darkness behind a drunkenly leaning gravestone. His nostrils flare. The ground here smells bad, in a way that reminds him of a mass grave outside a nameless village near Rakata in the mountains above Botlek. Damp ground, rainy hills, and a season of death had soured the very earth, making the nauseous soil threaten to regurgitate its charges. After a week on duty there, he'd had to indent for a new pair of boots. No matter how he scrubbed and polished, he couldn't get the stench of death out of his old ones. Grigori frowns and raises his bow, sighting on the buttress to the right of the chapel, where he is sure the sentry will appear in a few seconds. His view is partially obstructed by the gravestone, so he tries to move his left foot sideways a few centimeters. His boot refuses to shift. Meanwhile, on the other side of the chapel wall, Benjamin slaps his pager into silence, then tries to lift his right foot again, freeing it from the root or wire or whatever he's caught on. His left knee nearly buckles. Something has caught on his right ankle. Cursing silently, he glances down. Grigori's nostrils widen as he smells rottenness, mold, and mildew. He shifts his stance slightly as the ground softens beneath his right foot,